Hey everybody, welcome back to the Matt Report podcast. We are in the gap season of podcast takeovers, and today's another takeover by my good buddy Topher DeRosa, and he's going to talk about HeroPress, HeroPress.com. Over 70 articles, journal entries, autobiographies, biographies, whatever you want to call them, of stories, people within the WordPress community, how they got started, how it changed their lives, really impacted their lives. And Topher is taking over the podcast to tell you how it's impacted his life starting this, how it started, how he makes a living doing it. It's an amazing journey. It's an amazing story. And I'm excited to have Topher share that with you today. It's mattreport.com/subscribe. Season 4 launches on October 20th. If you enjoy shows like this, if you really love the content that the Matt Report is producing, head on over to iTunes, give us a 5-star review. If you just search for WordPress podcast in iTunes, you'll see the big red Matt Report logo. Go ahead and click on that. Leave us a 5-star review. It really helps us get found. It lets me know that you enjoy this stuff and you want it more. Thanks, everybody, and enjoy Topher's story.
Hi, I'm Topher. To answer the eternal question, Topher is the second half of Christopher, and I've had it since I was about 3. I'm a WordPress developer. I've been working exclusively in WordPress since about 2010. But I actually started doing web stuff in 1994, I believe, maybe 5. Working with Telnet and Lynx and Gopher and all that kind of stuff. It's been a wonderful career. I love it to death. But I gotta say, the most fun I have ever had in my career is being in the WordPress community. The friends and family that I've made since being in this community are fantastic. It's just awesome. So, here I am doing a podcast for Matt. The other day, Matt got a hold of me and said, "Would you be willing to step in for me?" And I said, "Dude, you have a podcast?" Not really. But I did wonder what I was going to talk about. I don't do a lot of business-specific things. And Matt said, "Well, you should talk about HeroPress and what you've learned and where you've been and things like that." So this time is going to be HeroPress story time with Topher. So let's start at the beginning. It was a few days before Thanksgiving in 2014. I was happily employed with XWP as an enterprise-level WordPress developer building big sites and all that kind of stuff. Happy as a clam. And I got an email. I woke up to it, actually. I woke up, checked my email, and there was an email from our company founder, Dave, who was not actually running the company anymore, but still owned it. And he said, "As of today, you're not going to work on XWP stuff anymore. I want you to do something special for WordPress." And that was it. And so I sent him an email and I said, what kind of thing do you have in mind here? And he said, "That's your journey to discover." And that began a conversation about what we could do that would be cool for WordPress. I had an open slate. Anything I wanted to do. I just had to come up with something cool. There were a couple of stipulations. He really wanted a business. And he wanted it financially viable within about 4 months, which is quite the thing. So I put my mind to it, and I thought long and hard, and we came up with 1,000 different ideas. So many different things. Things that had nothing to do with what HeroPress is today. In the process of this plan, he made available to me a WordPress agency, a team in India. There was about 8 people there, fairly well accomplished, seemed like capable folks. And he said, "If you need to build something, use these guys." I said, "Okay." And I got talking with my contact there, a guy named Jeet. And he expressed frustration one day that his agency could not get good, well-paying, respectable contracts. And I said, why not? And he said, well, because we're Indian. And everybody thinks of Indian labor as cheap, low quality, et cetera, et cetera. And he asked me for business advice. He said, what do I do? How do I talk to people to get respect and good contracts? And I have a little experience with that in the U.S. I've been a freelancer, but I don't know anything about India. And I'm not a businessman, honestly. And so I felt completely unqualified to answer his question. So I started thinking, who could answer his question? Well, it would be another Indian who has solved this problem. So I started asking around, and I said, hey, does anybody know anybody in India who has successfully run a WordPress agency? And a few friends pointed me at the organizers of WordCamp Mumbai. So I sent them an email. And the response I got back was immediate and enthusiastic. They knew exactly what to do. And so I connected them. And I thought, hey, maybe this is where I need to be going. Maybe I need to be finding people who have solved problems and giving them a voice to other people who need to solve the same problem. So what we came up with was something similar to TED or TEDx, where wise speakers talk about things that they think other people need to know. And I asked around and I found five people who said that they would be willing to start it. And we decided to do a Kickstarter. We were going to pay the speakers and we were going to pay for professional videographers to shoot this stuff so that it would be really high quality, really excellent. And so we did a Kickstarter for $30,000 Australian dollars, because Dave is Australian. And I went on the road, and I pitched it. I went to Pressnomics and shook a lot of hands and met a lot of people and had a wonderful time. And there was lots and lots of excitement. People said, man, what a great idea. This is great. Yeah, I'll support you. No problem. But in the end, it didn't work out. What we really wanted was 30,000 $1 donations. We wanted really validation, more than money. We wanted a groundswell of support. What we got was four or five donations for $4,000 or $5,000 each and a cluster of $10 donations, which is still a fair amount of money, but it did not meet the Kickstarter. And Kickstarter's policy is if you don't meet your goal, you don't get anything. Well, another stipulation to this whole project was that if it didn't work out, I probably would be looking for a new job. Not because I would be fired for failure, but because I committed wholly to this project. And so my position back at XWP was filled, and there was every expectation that this was going to work. And so I was looking for a job, and HeroPress was dead, and it just seemed pretty bleak at the time. Well, a lot of people got a hold of me and said, hey, HeroPress is a really cool idea. It'd be really, really sad if this didn't work. You have to make this go. And I thought, well, there's no way I can do that. I can't afford it. I can't afford the time. I have to find a job and all that stuff. The more I thought about it, the more I thought that HeroPress would be better served in text. It would be far cheaper to make. It would be far more accessible, faster to download. The advantages of text over video were overwhelming, and it made me wonder why I didn't think of them in the first place. So I emailed Dave, and I asked him if I could just do it, and I didn't hear back. And I emailed him again, and I didn't hear back. And so I just did it. I got a hold of Rarst, and I said, hey, you were going to do the first video. Would you do one in text instead? And he said, absolutely. And so we just did it. And I published it, and I thought, I better do another one. So I thought, well, maybe next Wednesday, a week later. So I scrambled around finding somebody else, And I scrambled again every week for a long time, far longer than was reasonable. And it just grew. And people loved it. So in the process of doing all of this, I learned a number of things about running a website, running a blog that publishes on a schedule, a blog that isn't personal. Things that I didn't expect to learn, and some of them I learned quite painfully. The first I've already mentioned is to get content way ahead. I published the first one and then asked somebody about the second one, which was only a week later. And I did that for probably the first 15 or 20. I didn't ask till after the previous one had been published. And that is painful. I mean, there's every week there's the question, oh, am I going to get somebody? Am I going to get somebody? Fortunately, there's been only one week in the entire time that I've been doing this that I did not have a contributor. This coming week will be post number 79. So that's almost 80 weeks, and I've only missed one. And that one, I mean, it worked out fine. But now I have a policy. I want the essay a week beforehand. And I have scheduled contributors already into December, and it's only October now. So having your content way ahead of time is super awesome. And I am sorry, Matt, that I am only getting you this audio the day before you're publishing. I'm a bad contributor. The other thing that I learned related to that is always have a backup. For all that I've only missed one week, there have been probably 5 or 6 weeks where my contributor got a hold of me 2 days before and said, I'm not done, and I'm not gonna be done. I need some help. And I was able to either find someone really quick, early on, or I try to keep an essay on hold. And the contributor knows that they don't have a specific date yet, but it's one that I can pull out and just publish. It's fully set up and everything. So always have a backup. Be ready to publish something good if your intended content fails. Another thing I learned is comments are hard to get. I love getting comments. I love feedback. And I've published essays that I thought, man, this is great. People are going to be all over this. Nothing. Crickets. And part of that is that it's so easy these days to respond through other mediums. Twitter, Facebook, Slack, whatever. Essays will get lots and lots of retweets. And comments in Twitter. Comments on Facebook. But no comments on the blog. And I get it. It's a lot easier. I do the same thing. I tend to write back on Twitter or find the author on Slack and say, hey, good job. But comments are awesome. If you're not a commenter, I would ask that you think about becoming a commenter, not just on my site, but on anybody's site. Everybody likes to get comments. Everybody likes to get feedback on what they're publishing. Now, I struggle to think of HeroPress as a business because I've been doing it for free pretty much since the Kickstarter failed. And when I say free, it means not taking any money myself until recently. Now other people contributed things. I've never paid for hosting for HeroPress. XWP supported it for a long time, and then Pantheon has taken it since then. I haven't paid for plugins because plugin developers come to me and say, hey, do you need a copy of my plugin? Would that be useful to you? And I say, sure, and I put it in place. But I haven't taken any money until recently. And people have asked me, why? Why do you do this? And honestly, the deep down reason is I like it. It's fun. It's fun to publish stuff and see people read it and get excited about it. It's fun to go to a WordCamp and have somebody I've never met come up to me and shake my hand and say, hey, I love what you're doing. That is fantastic. It changed my life. I love getting to meet new people all over the world. I like to meet people in general, and so I used to meet people all the time at WordCamps that I went to within 200 miles of my house. But now that I'm doing HeroPress, I'm meeting people in Romania and Ukraine and Malaysia and Korea and India and Pakistan and Nepal. And many of them have become good friends. So it's not just that I, you know, that I sit and have a conversation with these people, but they're good friends. And I get perspectives that are wildly different from anything I'm used to. It's exciting. It's fascinating. It's huge fun. Now, just recently, I started taking some money in sponsorship. And the money part of HeroPress has always felt really weird to me. I've actually turned down people who said, I would like to donate to HeroPress. Officially, HeroPress was a for-profit company in Australia. What it is right now, I don't know. Dave set it up. For all I know, the license expired. I've thought about making a nonprofit, but I never have. And so if somebody were to give money, it would probably go to me directly. And if it was substantial, the feds would look at me and say, why are you getting, you know, a substantial donation or whatever from people? And that whole thing just gives me the willies. I don't like dealing with money or taxes or any of that. But a few months ago, I was talking with Carrie Lee Maruki, and she was working on getting sponsorship to be WordPress's photographer and go to all the WordCamps and take all the pictures. And she heard my story and said, wow, you need to do the same thing. You should be doing HeroPress full time. And you should go to hosts and agencies and whatever and drum up support. And it sounded amazing. I mean, to just do HeroPress full time would be a riot. But the more I thought about it, the less reliable it felt. No matter how excited people might be the first year, or the second, or maybe the third, finding people in the fourth, fifth, and sixth years to support my family and put food on the table so that I can run my blog just seemed dangerously unreliable. And so I gave up the idea of doing it full-time. Unrelated, out of the blue, about that time, Dave got a hold of me again and said, hey, I'm working on getting you some sponsorship for HeroPress. You've been doing this for free. I think that you should be supported, helped out. And so we began a conversation with XWP, and now I get a small stipend, and I get to pay Stacy, who makes the banners, and that's fantastic. She's wonderful at what she does, and I have always felt bad about asking anybody to work on my project for free. And so being able to pay her is a blessing to me, actually. I'm very, very happy to be able to do that. And I'm happy to be able to take some money for my family. I was reluctant to take any money for a long time because, not just because of the taxes and stuff like that, but there's a certain value in volunteering and doing it for free, doing it for love, and being able to tell people, you know, I'm doing this because I love it, not because I'm being paid. But every week that I'm spending time on HeroPress, I am not spending time with my two little girls and my wife. And it's nice to be able to have some extra money come in from HeroPress to benefit them, to make Christmas a little nicer, to make birthdays a little nicer, to go to the zoo one more time each summer, stuff like that. So for all that I have avoided the money issue, I'm still happy to be taking some now. And because it's not like a paycheck or something, I still feel comfortable telling people that I'm doing this for the love. There's no way I could quit my job and live on this money. That just wouldn't work. And I do love it. It makes me happy. And I don't know what more you could ask for in a side project. I know people that work on software as their side project and sell plugins and things like that. And it's hard work. It's a struggle. And I never feel like HeroPress is hard work or a struggle. I just love it. And I would strongly recommend that you try to make your side project something you love. Because then it never feels like a burden. You never dread it. I think if I ever start to dread doing HeroPress, it's probably just going to die. If I ever get to the point where I think, ugh, I have to go find somebody, I have to talk to them, I have to walk them through it, I have to get all this stuff, then I probably just won't do it. But I don't feel that way. It's fantastic. And I hope that you can find something that you will love just as much.